We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned in.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Sorry, y'all.
I'm glad it was you and not me.
It came on. I'm telling you, it came on.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Pastor Kevin Akins.
Yeah, sure. That's who I am. Let me get this on silent so nobody. Praise God.
Good to be in the house of the Lord.
I don't know if I did or not.
That's why we have the headphones.
There you go.
I can't hear it.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to ourpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, or you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program.
Amen.
Everything good? Okay. Remember to like, share, and comment, and let us know you're joining us, even if it's a replay. Our Facebook sponsor for today is the Refuge Church, now located at New Liberty in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Oh, yes. And remember to stay tuned after the program. We have a word from Pastor Dwight Shepherd on the Truth broadcast. He will not be in the building. However, we will log off of the live and reset the iPad and come back with his message. Today's title will be Desperate Faith and Ketchup.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds interesting.
Leave it to Dwight.
I think I covered it all.
Yay. You got it good?
Oh, goodness. Would you like to pray to start us out?
I have to pray before we start us out today. Today has been a great day, and it's going to get better and better and better. And so let's start with prayer.
That sounds good.
All right. Father God, I come before you today. And Lord, I just surrender to you. I surrender my mind. I surrender my heart. Of course, Lord, I surrender my schedule to you. Lord, we take this next few brief moments to share your glory and to share your word. And I'm asking, Lord, that you'll just open up new hearts and new minds. Lord, I pray that anyone that just stumbles across this Facebook page will have to just stop and wait and listen and hear your holy word. Father, I pray that you influence, persuade, and affect somebody's life today. Lord, let your word go out with such anointing. There's no way it can return void. There's no way that it could return empty. But Lord, let it return with glory for you and your precious son, Jesus Christ. We ask these things, Lord, in that name of Jesus. And we say it in amen and amen. Amen, amen, amen. What an incredible God we serve, don't we?
Yes.
He is just phenomenal in all ways and all things. I come running in here this morning at high speed, man, and I feel like I got to make a circle and go. I've got something else on the agenda next to happen. There's always something ahead of us, but we need to learn how to be still and know that there is a God that is overseeing us and watching over us. One of the things that is happening currently in my life, and just a little quick note, I'm taking different leadership courses still. It seems like I've been doing that for the past 5-6 years because that seems to be the go-to word of knowledge. Everybody says, man, if you're in any form of higher position where people are under you, whether it is a group or whether it is a congregation, whether it's just a particular group at work, you know, if you just got other employees under you, I get that word right, then you've got to have a leadership mentality, a leadership to work with them. And it's so interesting that out of the different courses and the different times searching leadership, here is another word that continually pops up. What is the culture of your group? What is the culture of your congregation? What is the culture? And I just got, I don't know if I would say, I just got lost in that word for a minute, and I'm going, what is the culture? I found even in my sermon several times, I'm referring back, this was the culture of the day. This was their culture. This is how they're at. I noticed on the world news, surely y'all have been paying attention to the world news and all that's going on, but I was noticing how they would say their culture is this, their culture is that, their culture is this. And this culture thing just kept stabbing at me, if you will, and I wanted to figure out what was going on. The culture of a particular group, the culture of a society, the culture of a congregation, it dictates the attitudes that come out of them. It dictates behavior. It dictates values. It expresses internally. It expresses externally. The culture involves so much that people are going through. If the church doesn't intentionally set its culture boundaries and begins to develop its own culture, then the church will slide right into any other culture effect that's going on. It could be the culture of our society. And I know we said this just before we went live here. The culture of Elk City is, in my mind, busy. Because we just have a culture of always wanting to increase, always wanting to grow, always wanting to do, always wanting to better. We have a culture of beautifying and bettering, because that's just where it's all set. And I've noticed in our congregation that that's creeping into our congregation too. We want to upgrade to match the city. We want to upgrade ourselves. We want to upgrade the location. We want to upgrade the facility. We want to look better. We want to do better. We need to do that personally within our lives too. Instead of just lagging behind and letting others just drift on, I get it. If you're not careful, you'll start looking and saying, oh, Pastor, you're talking about keeping up with the Joneses, and you've already talked against that. You don't want to. I'm not talking about keeping up with Joneses. I'm talking about doing something that honors yourself, doing something that honors the one that helps you. Today's title, I entitled it Honored. And what I want to talk to you about for just a few minutes is creating a culture within yourself that is not deceiving, a culture within yourself that isn't based on your selfishness. Even though it's about yourself, it can't be based on your selfishness. It's a culture that depicts all the other areas of life without being situational ethics. And I know people, if you haven't figured it out already, you're going to hear me stutter, because I am telling you something today that is a little bit difficult for me to explain. It's something that I feel like is very important that we know, but nobody wants to talk about it. It is time that we start honoring those people that deserve to be honored, and not waiting until they're dead and writing something on their tombstone. There's time that people get honored now for the work that they do, honored now for the effects that they have on us. There are great people in this city. Yeah. There are great people in this nation. Yes, there are. There are great people that are around. But the greatest honor of all has got to go to Jesus Christ. And if we forget that, then we're missing out on what it's all about. We have the audacity to honor people after they're dead. When they're dead, that's when we want to put a plaque on the wall. When they're dead, that's when we want to build a statue. When they're dead, that's when we want to write something about them. You know, and I have this little glitch inside me that's a pastor. Okay. It's just the pastor thing inside of me that I want to put on out in front of people before it goes on their tombstone. And it says, live your life so that I don't have to lie about you when you die. You know, that's, why can't we do that now? And they go, oh, Pastor would never do that. Well, okay, I'm being transparent for you today. It is very difficult to talk about people's bad side at a funeral when they've just passed away. And we're no good and well. I'm looking out there at all them people going, yeah, but he had a bad side. Yeah, but she had a, you know, and I'm going, but here I am. I'm just trying to remember the good time. And I know this is an awkward thing, and nobody wants to talk about this, but why don't we honor our neighbor now? Why don't we honor our family now? One of the Ten Commandments that gets ignored and abused so much, and it's not committing adultery, although that does, but the one that gets abused more is the Fifth Commandment that says that we are to honor our mother and father. And if we honor our mother and father, then that's a promise for us to have long life. But when we get to a place that we're, you know, when we're touching 30 or 40 and our folks are out and away, then we forget about them. We don't honor them. Now, this is going to hurt somebody, and I'm not saying it to hurt, but this has got to be said. You know how many mothers and fathers that are in our nursing home that sons and daughters have not visited in over a year? How can that be an honor? Where's the honor? Do you know how many kids that totally defy their parents' requests? They defy their parents' instructions. They defy their parents' goals. And they sort of just like thumb their noses. I know that's an old cliche word. They just thumb their noses at their parents and say, who cares about you? And you're so old. You don't know what's going on. You don't have no half. Where's the honor? Where's the honor? Are we going to do what the Bible says, or are we not going to do what the Bible says? To honor somebody should be a part of our daily lives, to when we honor them. It should be a key element of our culture, our personal culture. Who is that person? That's a person, man, he honors people. He cares about people. He loves people. He loves all people. He honors his mother and father. I can, and I know I've just been pretty negative, but I could do the positive, and I can give you names of people that have honored their mother and father. When their mother and father are getting sick and their mother and father are getting ill, even though they've got a life, a busy, busy schedule, they still have tendency to be right there to take care of mom and dad. There are many of those that are there. We have a culture of caring about one another and helping one another. But where does that honor really come in? Let me take just a minute and take you to some scripture. And let me show you what honor really means, what it really is talking about. Well, first thing that I want to tell you is this. Honor is putting value on someone or something. You honor someone when you put value into their life. In the book of Romans chapter 12 is my first and my main scripture. And I'm not going to do a whole lot of scripture today because I want to express a thought and opinion. I want you to walk away from here saying, man, that was a pastor that was just talking to me about honoring other people. And that's what I want you to remember. Jesus teaches us, Paul teaches us, God teaches us, the prophets of Old Testament teach us, the very beginning commandments teach us that we are to honor one another. Then we need to get back to that. We got to get out of this thing about being, it's all about me. It's not. It's about those that are around us. In Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says, be kindly affectionate to one another. And I can take off on that little quote for so long. Where is the kindness of today? Where's the affectionate towards others today? I believe in our city of Elk City, and I'm just going to plug and be a big shout out again. We are kind to one another. We have one of the biggest support groups this town. We have two or three different food banks. We have the means that nobody should be going hungry in Elk City. Nobody should be down and out and totally without any kind of help. We've got all kind of help that's all around because we're kindly affectionate to one another. And then he adds, Paul adds this to the Roman church, with brotherly love. And you got to remember what that means with brotherly love. That means I'm going to stand with you in the hard time just as good as I'm going to stand with you in the good time. Can I reverse that? That brotherly love says, I'm going to stand with you when you're high up on a mountain. I'm going to stand with you when you rejoice. I'm not just going to walk away and say, this is your hour, you enjoy it. Nope, I'm going to be right there with you. I'm going to stand with you. We're going to shout. We're going to smile. We're going to laugh. We're going to have a great time. I'm going to be right there with you. But buddy, I want to tell you something. The only way you're going to get to your next mountaintop is you got to go through that dark valley. And when you go through that dark valley, this is a brotherly love. Brotherly love says, I'm going to stick with you in the darkness, in the valley, in the low places, low times, just as much as I'm going to stick with you in the high times. This is what Paul meant, kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. when he said with one another, you could almost put in there, because what it actually means is kindly affectionate to strangers. To be kindly affectionate with strangers with brotherly love. It's pretty easy to be kindly affectionate with somebody that you know, somebody that you care about, somebody you grew up with. And I always hesitate from saying being kindly affectionate with your brother, because there's a lot of brothers that don't speak to each other more than there are friends. So it's just a category here. But that stranger, being kind to a stranger with that brotherly love, when they're stranded in town and they're broke down in town, you know, it's not just showing them where the parts store is. It's helping them get the part and get the vehicle fixed. It's being that way. And look at the last part. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. In honor, giving preference to that stranger. In honor, it's honoring that stranger that you don't know that well. It's honoring them to say, I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to be here for you. I'm here to provide. I'm here to make arrangements. I'm here to do whatever I can do. I want to read this to you in a couple of other versions. Listen to this closely. This is the ESV version, all right? And it says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. So it's outdoing someone else. Show them honor like nobody else shows them honor. And so my shout out today is the scripture reminds us that it's not just our part to say, man, there's somebody else that's broke down. I'll go help them. It's not, well, there's somebody else that needs a meal. I'll direct them to help. No, it's honoring them. Outdo yourself to honor them, to say, let me show you where the food banks are. Let me help you get groceries. Let me just see if I can't ask for an extra can of corn. You know, I mean, to honor, to do whatever you can do. Let me read it to you in one more different version. Check this one out. This is the New Living Translation. And it's just a translation, not even a version of the Bible, just a translation. Somebody just translated this, put it in their own tongue. Check this out. Love each other with genuine affection. You love somebody that you, and really show that care. That affection is an emotion inside of you that says, I can't just walk away. To love somebody with genuine affection means, let's see if I can put this in the right word. This is the hard part that nobody wants to do. How can I explain it? So many people really, truly don't mind helping other people for the moment. I'll help you today. I'll get you some food today. And then it's like, there you go. God bless you. Do the best you can. To do genuine affection, the best word to describe that is follow up. It's follow up. Now, if you're a businessman, you have learned the value of follow-up, because the fortune of a businessman is in the follow-up. If you've got one person that comes into your store and they buy one piece of clothes, the secret of business is figuring out how you can get that person to come back and buy a second product. And then the real depth of that business is the follow-up and the follow-through, so that you can get that person coming back every month to buy another piece of stuff. That's the secret of business in anything that you do. It doesn't matter if it's real estate or if it doesn't matter if it's commercial. The value, the fortune, is in the follow-up. It's following up on that, even in a church setting, even in Christian settings. The true value in a follow-up, the true value in a person's life, is following up on them, following through with what's going on. I'll give you another example. What good is it? Whoo, somebody's going to get stirred on this one. What good is it if you lead somebody to the Lord and then you say, well done, get out of here, see ya. But you don't offer them scripture. You don't offer them instruction on praying with them. You don't stay with them. You don't see it through. Then the next thing you know, you got somebody that goes, no, I'm a Christian. Really? How much of a Christian are you? I'm a Christian because they told me I'm a Christian. Do you know John 3:16? I have never met John 3:16. It's not that you meet him, it's that you read him. What do you mean reading? When you don't follow up, there's no fortune in it. But what is the true fortune of an individual that has met Jesus Christ and has learned his holy word and has learned about prayer, has learned about intercession, has learned about worship, has learned about praise, has learned about fellowship, has learned about communion. What fortune is in that? How about you? Are you ready to go to heaven? What greater fortune is there than going to heaven? What is that? Then so when you lead somebody to Christ, are you honoring them if you let them just continue on and try to learn it by themselves? Or are you honoring them if you follow up with them and you continue to feed them scripture and feed them knowledge? Today's lesson is, let's create a culture where people are honored. Honored. How do you honor somebody else? How do you get them in that honored culture? It's a culture. I'm going to follow up on you. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to teach you something that I went through. Let me share with you a testimony. You know, my testimony has grown throughout the years. And if I really sat down and want to share my testimony, it's going to take me 2-3 hours maybe. I probably, if I really get anointed under it, I could probably go for a 4-hour tour on just talking about the testimony of God. But I can put it down in one big lump. I can make it really fast. I really can. He delivered me. He saved me. He filled me. He changed me. I want to tell you something. There ain't nothing better than what God can do for you. It doesn't matter where you were. What it matters is where you are and where you're going. That's what kind of God we serve. Sometimes we think that we're doing a good deed, but if we don't follow up with it, then what we're doing is we're leaving little orphan Christians out there that have not back, and they're not honored. What we need to do is honor those people by following up with them and showing them this is better. But now, let me approach this a different stroke. If we know how to honor them now, and we know how to love one another, we know how to generously give to them, there is a different side to this too. There is a way to destroy honor. You want to hear about destroying honor? Then listen to this. We destroy honor when we put our own needs, our own wants, our own cares above others. And that's the glitch of where we are right now. I would love to say in America, I would love to say that's the glitch of the whole world. I would love to say that's the glitch of the state of Oklahoma. Let's just bring it right home. That's the glitch in my living room. Come on, if you can say that with me, then just swallow that and just say, yep, that's the glitch in my living room. We destroy honor when we put our own needs, our own wants, our own cares above others. We destroy it. Listen to these scriptures. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. This is in the NIV version. I read these from so many different versions because I was trying to pull this apart. Listen to this. This is NIV. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. That's how you're going to honor them. That's the honor that comes to them. I'll read it to you again. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, NIV version. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Why would God tell us to stop our selfish ambition? And we get so caught up in it. No, I'm not even going to say that. I'm going to say I get caught up in it so easily. I want to be a better pastor, but I want to be a better financial advisor. I want to be a better counselor. I want to have a larger church. I want to have a better car. I want to have a better home. If you're not careful, I slide into it. Put we in there, okay? We slide into it. You're not the only one guilty of it, but I'm not the only one guilty of it. We slide into this with this selfish ambition. And when selfish ambition starts all about me, what's in it for me? How can I do this? It leads to a vain conceit. It begins to make you think that you are better than somebody else. You're better than somebody else. The greatest illustration that I've seen so many times is an illustration that comes out of war. And when war is going on, it doesn't matter the gender, it doesn't matter the race, it doesn't matter the generation, it does not matter. When somebody gets hit with an infiltrating bullet into their body, they bleed red. Period. We all have that same blood. We're all alike. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how rich, how poor. It doesn't matter. If that bullet's going to infiltrate with inside your body, you're going to bleed red. We got to look that we've built a vain conceit to think that we're better than somebody else. Your selfish ambitions will deceive you into thinking that you've got it this time. And when you think that you've got it, that's when you fall. That's when things get a little ugly and a little discouraging. Let me read this to you in a different version, all right? This ESV version, this English Standard Version. I like this because it's written on an eighth grade level. Sorry, that's why I like it the most. Philippians chapter 2, but I'm going to read all the way through verse 4, all right? I'm going to read all the way through. It's 3 and 4. Look at this. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit. Don't do anything because you want to get even. Don't do anything out of, and I'm so guilty of that sometimes. It's not that I want to get even. I just want to prove that I'm right. And the Bible tells us not to do that. But in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. This is how you honor them. This is a part of that honor. Build that culture of honoring somebody. You're more important than I am. I know I've got an agenda. I know I got a schedule. But right now, what you're going through is more important. Let me take a few minutes. Let me take a few minutes. It's okay to be late. Everybody's late. Look at verse 4. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. What are they going through? How can I help? How can you be somebody to support? Listen, they may not need your money. They may not need your wealth. They may not need your wisdom. They don't even need your input or your knowledge to tell them, you know, if you do it like this, you might get my bet. What they need is to somebody to listen to what they're going through. Can I give you a little insight from the pastor's counseling table? It is amazing how many people can solve their own conflict if you just let them talk it out. If they just talk it out, it's amazing how often somebody will say this and this and this, and then they go, but you know, if I was to do that, then that'd probably fix that problem. And my answer usually is, give it a good try. Let me know how it goes. That's the whole art of my counseling. That sounds good. I think you can make it. And you go, Pastor, what are you talking about today? That honors them. Think more about them than yourself. You don't have the right answer for somebody's life every single time, unless it's your kid and they're 19 and they know everything. Then you probably have a better insight. But you gotta figure out how you can honor them. Honor them the best you can. We're talking about destroying honor, destroying honor. Let me give you one more thing. Honor, when we put our pride before anything else, creates a concern and destroys the culture of honor. Pride is written to us in the Bible several times. Do away with it. Get away from it. I don't have this scripture in my notes, but I can tell you right now, over in the New Testament, the author of the New Testament, I believe it was James, that said, God will resist pride. He's going to resist it. I don't read very many other things that God resists. I mean, he doesn't even resist those that have fallen into adultery or fallen into idolatry. He doesn't resist them. He will still hear their plea and love for them. He doesn't resist people that have chosen other gods over him. He doesn't resist them. He'll listen to them. He doesn't resist people that have fallen into actual evil effects. But when their pride rises up, he resists them. Does that make y'all think about anything? That makes me wonder, you know, I could be doing a lot of things and God's still going to hear me. But if my pride swells up, he's not going to hear me. Makes me go, you know what, that pride's not a good thing. You better get that out of there. Pride destroys honor. It destroys your honor. It destroys those who you're trying to honor. It destroys those that you have already honored in the past. Pride destroys honor. Now here comes the scriptures. Hang on, get your notes out. Here we go. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. When pride comes, Then comes shame. It's that fast. That fast. You could already honored somebody and you could have done a great thing. But when you rise up and say, I'm the one that supplied that, I'm the one that did that, I took care of that. When your pride rises up, shame follows. Wow. What happens to their honor? Their honor is now tainted. It's got a shame factor on it. Your shame factor. But with the humble, there comes wisdom. Just humble yourself and let them know. I'm honoring them, not you, not yourself. Let me give you another one. Proverbs 13:10. Proverbs 13:10 says, by pride comes nothing but strife. Yeah, I'm going to do it. Here we go. So much stress in this world today. So much stress. Stress is causing stomach ulcers. Stress is causing migraine headaches. Stress is causing just an infrastructure that is just weak and weary, no energy. Stress is a killer. And everybody's going, I am so stressed out. I hear it all the time. There is so much talk about it. Actually, I started to preach today about being stressed out. Everybody's talking about it. Every pastor's talking about it. I preach about it from my pulpit over and over again. Stressed out, stressed out, and stressed out. Because we're so busy, 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 busy. And I'm guilty. I say it all the time. I'm just so busy, busy, busy. How many of y'all know the acronym of busy? B-U-S-Y, right? Burden under Satan's yoke, right? That's exactly what busyness is. It's just a burden under Satan's yoke. That's what it is. And when you get busy, when you get under the burden of Satan's yoke, then you're stressed. How did you get stressed? By pride comes nothing but strife. And when strife is in your life, it's just stress. It's just another word for stress. It's constant strife going on. But with well advised is wisdom. So you need help. You think you've got your schedule lined out. Maybe you need somebody else to look at your schedule. Let your 13-year-old look at it. They got all the answers there. And I tell you what, they can figure your schedule right out. They can tell you when to take a nap, and they don't even need one, but they'll tell you when to take one. Think about it, all right? Pride comes nothing but strife. Let me give you one more. Now, another one in Proverbs. I love this guy of wisdom. Proverbs 16:18. This one I have known for a long time. There's so many different versions of this. There's so many different ways to word this one. This is the one that you're going to know. Now, in the New King James Version, Proverbs 16:18, it says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. This is the one that we know. You know, pride always goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride always goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. I'm going to say it one more time because somebody out there needs to get this. Your pride will lead you to be destroyed. And your haughty spirit will take you lower than you've ever been in your life. All pride does is lift you high, deceives you to make you think that you can do it. Pride just picks you up for no other reason but to watch you fall hard back down to the bottom. That's all pride does. When you start feeling that pride rise up inside of you, then you've got to think about it a minute and go, no, I'm just being lifted up. Now, I'm not talking. I always want to specifically put this out because I'm not talking about being proud of who you are, having some self-assurance, having some self-awareness of who you are, being strong, know where you stand, know who you are. That's not being prideful. That's just having proud about, you know what, I'm going to look nice today. I think I'll take a bath so people enjoy being around me. That's just being proud about, you know, being in society. That's not pride. That's just being proud. And now, I'm not talking about an evil proudness. It's just a kind proudness. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about having pride. I'm better than you. I can do that better than you. I've always done that better than you. I'm able to take care of that better than you. That's the kind of pride that will lead, that will destroy your honor. That's the kind of pride that destroys the honor of those around you. We're talking today about building inside yourself a culture of honoring other people before you honor yourself. Now, I've got a third one I'm coming to in just a moment. It's an understanding of how to regard honor, or how to place honor in a great place in your life without letting pride take over, okay? But let's take a minute to pray.